Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain. Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. Most of you, if you have school-age children, are getting back into the swing of all things fall. If you don't have school-age children, it's still fall is coming. And I feel like it has become the end of summertime has now become kind of new year, new you, part two. We see that online with a lot of things that we share that people are sort of deciding, okay, it's end of summer. Now we're going to gear up for all those goals or resolutions that we didn't start at the beginning of the year. We're going to do that for the fall and winter. So in light of that, and in light of the fact that we're just in the middle of starting into our fall routine, even though it's not fall, although we've been having false fall this week because it has been chilly in the morning. I actually am wearing a sweatshirt today. I won't have it on the whole day, but it's been so nice.
Oh, it's been beautiful outside, especially early in the morning.
So it feels kind of like it's going to be fall. I'm sure next week it's going to be 97 degrees all week. But anyway, we are going to talk about setting yourself up for a great school year. Now, if you don't have kids, you don't have kids who are in school, they are too young or too old to be in school, there's still going to be a lot that you can glean from this because it's basically just setting yourself up for a great life. But there are going to be some things that are going to be specific to the school year. So I hope you don't just decide to turn the episode off, even if you don't have kids, because we're going to share some things that are working well for just us personally to have good routines to set our days up for success. One of the things that we've been doing, we'll dive into that later in the show, the more specifics, but we started something new that we've never done before, Jesse, and that is in the mornings, we are in the car together because we're doing drop-offs. We drop kids off at three different schools. And so I said, Jesse, why don't we use this time to listen to an audiobook? Y'all know that we love the Libby app. Well, there just happened to be that same day that I was thinking that this book that was available that you think, Jesse, that you put on hold?
I have no clue.
Neither one of us can figure out who put it on hold. I think it's been on hold for a really long time. Every once in a while, I'll ask on Instagram for people to give suggestions of great books, and then I'll just go through them and look at them, and anything that looks somewhat interesting, I will add to the holds list. So maybe it was something from that. I don't know. But anyway, we started listening to this book. We'll probably only have a chance to do 15 to 20 minutes a day in between the drop-offs and everything. But we're already really enjoying it. Mm-hmm. What's the name of it?
Destiny of the Republic, if you recall. Let me see. I'm looking it up. Yes.
Destiny of the
Republic. It is by Candace Millard.
So if you told me about this book on Instagram, please let me know because I'm very curious.
Yeah,
put it on hold.
The subtitle is A Tale of Madness, Medicine, and the Murder of a President.
So we don't know exactly where it's going to go, but so far it's been really interesting and it's been really fun to listen to something together. Mm-hmm. And I think also finding books that we would enjoy to listen to together because my books are too probably frou-frou for you and your books are too shoot 'em up. Like every other word is bleep. Anyway, I was excited that we found something that we're both enjoying.
And this is set in the 1880s, around the time of the World's Fair and the rising stardom of James Garfield. So my guess based upon that is going to be about the assassination of James Garfield.
Well, it's interesting because it was talking about Alexander Graham Bell and him showing the basically very early telephone at the World's Fair. And I assume that the story around that is true, but it was fascinating because I'd never heard that before about kind of as a last ditch last minute sort of thing for him to get into the World's Fair. He was put in some booth that was not ideal at all. And then he didn't get even on the list of different, I'm trying to think of what the word
exhibitors. Yeah. Well, was it the exhibitors list or was it the exhibitors that would demonstrate their inventions to the judges?
I just got the impression that he didn't get on any list.
Because apparently the judges decided to truncate their judging and basically stopped right before him until somebody said, hey, I know you. Can you show me what you got?
Yeah, because he was going to try to go basically track down the judges, even though he wasn't on a list, or they wouldn't have known about him because he was off in this booth that they wouldn't have even passed. But he had hoped to catch their attention, and then they were all meeting saying, we're going to do one more invention, we're going to look at that, and then we're done for the day. And what was the other thing that was interesting is I feel like the book does a really good job of kind of putting you in their shoes, and you never think, at least I feel like, I don't think about what it would be like to not have air conditioning. Hmm. We've gotten so used to just, you know, if there was a big building like that now with all these people in it, of course it would be air conditioned, but it was talking about
not only that, think of all the machinery that was running as well. And
them being in their suits.
Of course, I mean, that was, they didn't know anything different.
Right.
But still.
It was just fascinating to like think about what that would be like in the middle of summer. I took it that it was very hot.
Where did they say this was at? Was it St. Louis?
I'm not sure.
Was it the St. Louis World's Fair? They had one in Nashville.
It wasn't the Nashville one.
The Nashville one.
I mean, I think we would have picked up on that, but we'll have to listen more. Anyway, it's been really fascinating because it's well narrated and well written, and I'm learning a lot of things about history that I did not know. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see where it leads. I'm also reading a book called You Are Not Behind. It's by Megan Asbury Ryan. And I'm actually going to have her on the podcast soon. I hadn't heard of her before, but someone reached out, her publisher reached out and asked if I would be interested in having her on the podcast. And I looked at the book and I was like, well, send me a copy of the book. And it has been so good. And it's interesting because I wouldn't necessarily think of myself as feeling behind. I don't know. That's just not a concept. I'm sorry. I said Megan Asbury Ryan. It's Megan Ryan Asbury. She just recently got married. I wouldn't necessarily think of myself as being behind. I don't know, Jesse, is that something that you think of yourself as?
Based on a to-do list, yes.
Oh, I mean, that's true. But it was more about like, okay, the subtitle is Building a Life You Love Without Having Everything You Want. And basically talking about, you know, maybe feeling behind in the sense of
comparing yourself to others.
Yes. Other people are married, having kids, buying the house, getting the promotion in their job, having a better friend group and a better church. It just feels almost like it's that concept of
always looking for more.
Yes. Feeling like everyone else is thriving and I'm over here just kind of scrambling and the doors I'm knocking on aren't opening. And the things I'm trying aren't working and I'm getting no's instead of yeses. And so I didn't, honestly, the concept of the book, it wasn't something that I was like, oh man, that's like a constant pain point for me because I really, truly love my life. You know, like I never feel like I'm rocking it in the sense of I'm always dropping some things. There's always some mess, some hardship, something that just is keeping me on my knees, but also I'm not feeling like, man, I'm just really, everyone else is getting blessed and I'm not or something. I don't know. Does that sound weird?
No.
I just feel like I look around and I see so much blessing in my life. However, there's so much in this book that I'm finding to just be really, really powerful and hitting me in ways that I wouldn't have expected. And so I'm really excited to have her on the podcast. And also I just feel like so many people resonate with that feeling like they aren't where they want to be and they wish that life looked different. And so how do you find contentment and joy when life isn't how you had hoped it would pan out? So anyway, It's called You Are Not Behind by Megan Ryan Asbury. And I will be having her on the podcast. I think she's coming in October. So keep you posted on that. And the book doesn't come out until, let me look, September 10th. We have been, speaking of You Are Not Behind, we have been working hard on some areas that we were behind in, and that was decluttering and organizing our house. Yeah. I guess if you were to talk about that, okay, here, this is straight up, I'm verbally processing right here. I do feel like I'm behind in the sense of that it often can feel like a lot of other people are much more organized, in the sense of it feels like our house often is a bit chaotic. Is that an accurate statement?
It feels like it is.
It's just, there's the constant coming and going.
Yeah. And what do you expect?
Never know who's going to be here, who's going to be here so for dinner, which boyfriend is going to be here, which other friend is going to be here, which child is going to have an emergency. I mean, it just feels like there's constantly something. And over the summer, especially, it felt like we both were very stretched. And I think just 6 kids moving in 6 different directions, it's a lot of directions that are going on. And so I had hoped to get to some of the organizing projects and areas of our house that we have not gotten to for quite a long while. Mm-hmm. And that did not happen. I think I did absolutely zero deep cleaning or decluttering over summer, if I'm recalling.
I don't think you'd have time.
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't like to say I don't have time. I'm choosing to spend my time differently.
True.
And so I chose to spend my time really being more present this summer. I mean, I could have been like, nope, I'm not going to do any reading. We're not going to do any family time. I'm going to cut back on my work even more, all of that. But I just felt like summer was the time for me to just be available. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I was. And so now that the kids are back to school, it is so crazy for us to have this time in the morning. I forgot how much I could get done when there are not 6 kids going in 6 different directions. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love them so much, but in 2 hours, I can just, it's crazy. Me and Micah, we were just knocking out stuff. but you cleaned out the garage, which really I feel like has just been needing to happen for quite a long while, and got really good organizational systems. It wasn't just like, oh, we cleaned it up, we moved some things around, we stacked some things up. It was like, no, you set up organizational systems so that it's like the rake goes here and the shovel goes here, and there's like a hanging rack and shelves and tubs, and it looks so nice. Every time I walk into the garage, it's like I want to sing hallelujah. It's so beautiful. Anyway, but we had a lot of stuff in the basement.
And it's been this way for probably a year.
We moved all the stuff down to the basement storage room, and then we never moved it back. And so it's called a wine cellar. It's this, it's really hard to describe, but it's this all brick room in our basement that has this beautiful wooden door and tiled floor. It's just, it's a really, really cool room, but we don't really drink, so it doesn't really serve as a wine cellar, but we still call it the wine cellar at our house. But so it had all sorts of random garage things in it that we had just kind of brought down there hastily. And we're like, we're going to deal with this once they get the flooring in. And then it sat there for a year. Mm-hmm. And so you moved all the stuff out of there. You got the organizational system in the garage. And then that inspired, you know, it's like good habits beget good habits. That inspired us to then go through the pantry in the kitchen that has been bursting at the seams, because we don't have a large walk-in pantry, just have a small closet pantry, which I'm so grateful for. We're so grateful for the pantry, but it has just been bursting with food, which is, I mean, what a gift.
It's a good thing.
First world problems. But we were able to move a lot of that stuff downstairs then to the wine cellar. You set up a shelf for me. We have the deep freeze down there. We're maybe going to set up more shelves down there. And it feels like the pantry can breathe now, and I can see everything that we have, which mm-hmm. is So nice. I actually shared some pictures. So if you are wanting to envision what I'm talking about, not of the garage, I didn't get pictures of that, but of the before and after of the pantry and the wine cellar, go to my Instagram, The Money Saving Mom, and there's a highlight there. I think I called it pantry. Let me go check. And you can see the pictures on there. Just a second. I will go look. Yes, it's called pantry. So you can go see pictures if you'd like to see that. But now it's like, okay, what are we going to tackle next? It's only the first few weeks of school. And I mean, actually we're only a few days into the actual real mm-hmm. week of everybody back to school. And we have already knocked out things off our list. So it feels really good. We'll keep you updated if we continue with this momentum. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. And I feel like I need to preface what I'm going to say with this. I'm a huge advocate of breastfeeding. Anyone who knows me well knows that nursing is something I believe in, and all five of our biological children were breastfed until they were 19 to 23 months old. However, we also have fostered and adopted, and I've been so grateful for formula companies in those situations. I'm also grateful for formula companies because our last two biological children, I really struggled with my supply and did all the things, spent so much time and effort, and just was never able to produce enough for them to be able to gain weight and not be hungry. And so I was so grateful for companies like ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. They're made with certified clean ingredients. It has no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code CRYSTAL for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So go to byheart.com/podcast and use CRYSTAL to get your welcome offer. When you think of summer, do you think of grilling out? I know I do. That smell of burgers on the grill, that sound of the sizzling, and that taste when you just bite into the perfect brat or burger. And you know what you need? You gotta have a bun. And for some people who maybe you're watching what you're eating, you're like, have you looked at the ingredients in those buns? I'm just gonna eat it plain. But that's no fun. Well, Hero Bread is here to be a hero because they reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. I looked at the package because I ordered some to try before I did this ad. Y'all, I could not believe what I read. And it tasted quite good. One of my favorite ways was to toast the bread and then put some Laughing Cow cheese on it so that you're still not having a lot of fat, and then sprinkle it with some Truvia and cinnamon. So good, and packs nutritional punch. The texture is just like regular bread, very soft and fluffy. And the best part about it is that it packs a nutritional punch. 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and high in fiber. So you don't have to stop eating bread or not have a bun on that juicy hot dog or your BLT sandwich or that sizzling burger. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code CRYSTAL at checkout. So that's CRYSTAL at HERO.CO. Hero.co to get 10% off. Use coupon code CRYSTAL. So that leads right into our topic of the day, which is setting yourself up for a great school year. And this is not a perfect school year, but a great school year. And by that, I just mean one that is filled with intention and memories and just moments that become things that you savor and cherish. So I have four things, Jesse, you might add to this, but the first one, someone asked me the other day this question on Instagram, and that's what inspired me to think of, I didn't share all these things, so we're going to share a lot more than I shared on Instagram, but the biggest thing they were talking about, what are your systems that you have in place, for instance, for helping kids with homework? We have a really great system for homework.
Yes.
It's called...
Let them do it themselves.
You are in charge of your homework. And for a lot of parents, I know that this can feel like what? And I got a lot of questions about this because I did talk about this a little bit. But it's really the concept of we want to raise adults, not dependent children. And so we need to start in small ways when they're young. And as they get older, give them more and more responsibility. Teach them to take ownership. Teach them to learn to ask for help. Teach them to learn to manage their time. And so by the time they're 16, 17, 18, they are ready to go out into the world and live as fully functioning adults. Now, if your child has disabilities, you know, things like that, obviously it's going to look different, but you can still teach them to take ownership. Like I think of David, he's cognitively, you know, somewhere between like maybe a 12-month-old in some ways, and in other ways, not even there yet. And he's four. But there are things that he can do. There are a lot of things that he can't do, but he can push the dishwasher up, close the door.
Oh, he loves to close the door.
It's like there's little things that he can do that he is capable of doing. The thing that he's trying to do right now is to get his own seatbelt on. He can't do it, but he can help with it. Mm-hmm. And so giving him the opportunity, instead of us just do everything for him, help him, like he can pull his leg up to put his leg in his pant leg. And so letting him do that, he tries to pull his shorts up mostly or hold his hands up so he can put the shirt on over his head. You know, he needs a lot of our help, but in the little ways that he is capable, allowing him to be capable and really encouraging and slowing down to allow him to do those things and then praising him for that. And so it starts on a small scale. And then as they get, you know, older and more capable, giving them more and more responsibility. Now, Silas, he started taking care of his own homework from the time he was in first grade. The girls, we homeschooled, so they didn't have homework. So they didn't go to a traditional school until they were in, was it third and fifth grade?
Yes.
And so they were in charge of their homework from then, but Silas started when he was in first grade. And, you know, in first grade, they don't, at least our experience, they haven't had that much homework, which I like. I'm like, find a school where they don't give them a bunch of homework at that age, because I don't think they need to have a whole bunch of homework when they're young. I don't think they need to have a whole bunch of homework when they're older either. I think, you know, teaching our kids also to utilize if, as they're older, when they have study halls and things like that, you know, that's one thing, yes, we really encourage definitely. Them. Do as much of your work at school during school hours as you possibly can, so you bring as little work home as possible. But it starts with, you know, us teaching them how to take ownership, how to listen and receive instruction and take directions. And so it's, you know, learning to, okay, the teacher assigned that. Maybe I need to write it down. I need to have some sort of system to know what my homework is, and then the ability to follow through with that homework. And these are life skills that for the rest of their life are going to benefit them. So on the front end, something like this is might feel like it's a lot more work.
Mm-hmm. In the back end, though, so worth it.
So worth it. Because I have no idea, like with Silas for years, I have no idea what he's, like what tests he has, what papers he has, what projects he has. That is 100% on him.
He takes on, it's not like something that we're putting on him. He assumes the responsibility himself.
Yeah. And I think, you know, every child is a little bit different, but all three of our older kids who have very, very different personalities, have had the same thing. And my thing is, you know, we've had some times where some of them have been a little bit lazy, you know, haven't given their full effort. And the natural consequences are amazing when they get that test score and they're really disappointed with it.
And they realize, oh, I need to get into gear. Yeah. They do.
I should have studied more. And, you know, and there it's, we're not saying that we leave them high and dry and we don't help them. If they ask for help, we're happy to help them. And so that's also a life skill of learning when you need to ask for help. And so if a child is overwhelmed, saying, what do you need right now? What do you need help with? How can I help you? And so it's like teaching them to think through instead of me being like, here, let me do X, Y, and Z for you. It's causing them to think through, where do I need help? And learning that sometimes you have to ask more questions. And sometimes
those questions that you ask spur on them asking for help. Sometimes they don't have the awareness because they're in the thick of it to come and ask for help. But if you are in tune with their attitudes, how they react under pressure, you can sense, oh, I'm going to kind of push into this and see what's really going on. And at that point, they may see, yeah, I need to ask for help. Or when you talk and ask those questions, they realize, oh, I could take out this, this, and this, and this, and we'll be okay.
And one of the things also, I think maybe I've talked about this on a podcast episode, but it was a long time ago, of for certain kids, they just need to, I mean, I'm like this too. Sometimes when you feel overwhelmed, you just need to vent out everything that you're feeling. We have one child who has just... You have some personal experience with that. We have one child who just feels overwhelmed, but then if I say, let's make a list of everything that is overwhelming you. And so I started by just saying, we're going to make a list of everything that's overwhelming you. And then they started doing that on their own. And then they started being able to take that list and make a plan from that list. And so it's baby steps of these things. You know, first it's like, I think you're feeling really overwhelmed. Let's write everything out and teaching them that. And then it's okay. Now let me help you learn how to make a plan from that. And then them slowly being able to do it themselves. So I'm not saying go tell your child who you've always helped with all their things. Hey, you're in charge of your homework this year.
Right.
You know, it is sitting down and having a conversation and it's saying, we want to raise you up to be an adult. We want you to be able to handle these things on your own, because someday we're not going to be here for you. This is a gift that we're giving you for your future. And so we see that you are capable of so much and we want to let you step into that some more this year. And so let's talk about what that could look like. And so then you kind of make a plan for how they're going to take on some responsibility. And then you slowly let them take on more and more and more with the goal that you're working yourself out of a job. And one of the other things is that we don't contact teachers. We don't contact school administration basically ever, except for in the case of there have been two instances in this last year where I have contacted school administration. And one of them was that the child had already contacted school administration and hadn't gotten a response. And so I followed up and was able to get a response. And then another time there was an issue that we felt like it was me as a parent that had a concern versus our child having a concern. And so, you know, I think that there is an occasion where a parent would have a concern that is not something for the child, but by and large, you know, if they say, I'm bothered by something, I don't understand something, I don't know how to do something, they contact the teacher. And honestly, rarely do they even say that to us. We usually find out after the fact that they've already gone to the administration, contacted the teacher, whatever, they've taken care of it. But it's been a process to get to there. So anyway, setting yourself up for great school year. Number one, have your kids take personal ownership and responsibility for their homework. And I would also take it even further than that. I would say for getting themselves out the door in the morning, because that's their responsibility. And that is a life skill, getting yourself out the door in the morning. So the more that you can have them take ownership, making their lunches, laying out their outfits, getting themselves completely ready, making their breakfast, getting together everything they need, packing their backpack, all of that. It's teaching them life skills, but it's also going to make your mornings much smoother if it's not all dependent upon you. Secondly, start the day well. And to start the day well, though, you need to end the day well. I think we've really found that a successful morning starts the night before. And the things that we do before bed make a big difference for how our mornings go.
Definitely.
One of the things that we started doing last year because of having two kids in preschool for the first time was that before bed, we do everything that we possibly can for the morning. And I think we've talked about this on the podcast, but that is everything. Laying out their outfits down to their shoes, making sure that, you know, no one's going to need a bath in the morning, making sure that the house is picked up so that we're not going to need to be looking for something, backpacks all put together, lunches all made. Sometimes we will even have breakfast set out and ready. Anything that we need to use in the morning, like I do my devotionals in the morning. And so it's like, I'll have those set out and ready, the little light that I use, my shoes, and that I'm going to put on to go on my walk, like everything set out so that it's just, you can get up and just get on with your day instead of having to look for things or find things or figure things out. It's just all put together. So, and then I would say ending the day well is also going to bed early. That makes such a difference. And we're still a work in progress on
definitely
that.
Definitely a work in progress.
But we've made a lot of progress.
You do a whole lot better on job vendor than I do.
You've been doing well, though. There's been a few nights recently that you have gone to bed before me. So props for that. And then, so you set up your morning well by having a great bedtime routine and getting things ready for the morning. And then starting your day well. So for me, that looks like, it's going to look different for every person, but right now that looks like getting up before the kids get up. Sometimes that's only 5 minutes because Micah, he can just sense, he can just sense something has stirred in the air. That's my mother is up.
That's what happens when they go to bed before you do.
But getting up before they get up and spending some time in quiet, reading my Bible, reading some from an encouraging book, an inspirational book, even if it's just a few pages, and then taking a walk. I will bring whatever children are up. There's been two times this last week that I got to the walk time of my schedule and no one was up. So I took a walk by myself. But then usually it's Micah or Kirsten, every once in a while David too. Take them out on a walk while the sun is rising. Notice I usually do not turn on my phone and do not check my phone until after I've done these things. I feel like that has been a huge thing of this year starting. We've talked about this sunlight before screens, really starting my day with filling up my soul before I pull out my phone. That has been huge for me. And then having space so that it's not just this rush. And by setting up things the night before, I feel like it's not usually... Now, sometimes the last few minutes of getting out the door, but the most of the morning is calm. And so then breakfast, and we have a little devotional that we're reading together, and just being able to just take the time to get everyone ready and talk and get out the door. That has been just a gift to start the day, not like you're jumping out of bed and then you're checking your phone, and then there's feels like there's all these things and emergencies and stuff to do. Just starting it with quiet and kind of slowly waking up as the sun is coming up and filling up my soul. That's just been huge for me. And then finally, Jesse, do you have anything to add on those?
No, that's exactly what I've been finding too.
The final thing that I wanted to share is piggybacking off of what I talked about last week with slow productivity. And that is the book that I'm reading, Do Less. I just feel like we have a tendency to pack our days so full with things that we feel like we must do, we should do, we have to do, we're supposed to do. And if we can just look at our calendar and say, what can we simplify? What do we really need to do? What can we do less of? Can we delegate something here? Could we delete something? Could we move something to another day? This has just been huge for me to really try to plan less in my calendar. I'm the kind of person that when I see a 2-hour block of time, I'm high achiever. And so it's like, oh, what can I get done during that 2-hour block of time that doesn't have anything set in it? And to just give myself more breathing room in my calendar. And that's been really, really huge. And I was just telling you earlier today how one of the things I'm noticing is that I'm not pulling out my computer in the evening. Mm-hmm. I think because of us having this bedtime routine and going to bed earlier, because we're getting up earlier, I'm like, you know what? That can wait till tomorrow. And it's crazy because the world hasn't burned down. The business hasn't burned down. Our house hasn't burned down. Like, I think sometimes we think we've got to do these things. And last night, even I was like, oh, I probably really should answer those emails that I didn't get to today. And then I was like, you know what? It'll be fine. I'll do them in the morning. And I prioritized them just first this morning when I had time to do emails, and it was all fine. And I think we just put a lot of pressure on ourselves to feel that everything is urgent when it's not. And so have your kids take ownership and personal responsibility little bit by little bit, end the day well so that you can start the day well, and then do less. 4 strategies for setting yourself up for a great school year. If you have things to add, if you have other suggestions, if you have questions, if you have constructive criticism, we always love to hear from you. Send an email to crystal@moneysavingmom.com. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.